And now BBC Radio 4, the comedian and writer Richard Herring continues to investigate bad habits that affect us in the workplace. And today he explores the problem of lateness.
Friday 17th, book leave, birthday, BA phone bill, Molly credit card.
Jacket to cleaners, reply to Tim, Jiffy bags.
30th, HR 077986.
All Mary in about Saturday. Walk dog, check theatre start time.
Risotto, gloves to charity, bike tire.
Julian send back, Kerry to talk to Chris, clean
right
bathroom.
To-do list. Record introduction to Bad Habits programme about lateness. Tragically, that's all I've got to do.
Number one, try to walk in quickly be. Number two, count to ten, smile, count to ten. Number three...
To-do lists. Mankind's futile attempt to create order in the chaos of our random universe. All over the world, people are trying to manage time, to keep time. But time is not a physical entity. It's an uncontrollable metaphysical conceit. Time can't be managed like a bank or kept like a bee, nor will it give you honey. It grinds ever onwards, unstoppable, unconquerable, senseless to our entreaties and excuses.
Fixing things.
But that's probably not going to cut much ice with your boss if you turned up late for work today.
Number 11, studying maps, inventing street names. Number 12, scraping the garden.
It should, though, because getting anywhere on time these days is a Herculean task. There are so many variables like alarm clock malfunctions and traffic jams and leaves on the line that the only way of being certain of getting to the office on time is to camp out in the doorway overnight like one of those idiots trying to be first into the January sales. So what hope does someone like me have? Again, your boss not impressed, right? But I'm not alone here. A survey last year by Travelodge found that nearly half of us admit to sneaking into work late every single day. Mike Walters is a human resources consultant who's worked for companies like the BBC, Ernst & Young and Shell. He knows a thing or two about being on time.
Time management's a big issue for, I think, most organisations. I think it varies enormously. I mean, I think there are some companies and organisations that I go into where time management is absolutely brilliant and everyone turns up on time for everything. Other organisations you go into and it's almost part of the culture that people are late for meetings, people are late for appointments. I'm astonished by how often the extent to which you're kept waiting while you're waiting for your own appointment to go and see people often is indicative of the kind of culture that exists in the organisation towards timekeeping and towards lateness generally.
So how come some people manage to unfailingly turn up for work so punctually every day, looking cool, groomed and unflappable, whilst others, like me, arrive 40 minutes late, red-faced, sweating and unshaven with our shirts buttoned up all wrong? Writer Diana DeLonza interviewed hundreds of people about their timekeeping for a study she did with San Francisco University. She deduced that 20% of the population are chronically late, which means if there are 10 people in a room, then two of them won't even be there yet. She wrote a book called Never Be Late Again, Seven Cures for the Punctually Challenged. So what makes one in five people so relentlessly tardy?
There are a lot of opinions about chronic lateness. Some psychologists believe that chronically late people have problems with their prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that controls impulsivity and self-control. Other studies indicate that some chronically late people have difficulty with time perception in general. I personally, through my research, feel that it's a combination of both physiological problems, genetic things that you were born with, and just long ingrained habits. I found that many late people had consistent problems in their workplace. They could be an ideal employee in every other way, but many late people had been fired, had been reprimanded. And they usually have problems with self-esteem in some respects because they're unable to master something that everybody else seems to have a handle on.
As a comedian, you might not think that good time management is all that important for me. I am, after all, my own boss. But comedy is all about timing. And if I turn up 2 hours late and the audience has already gone home, then the jokes fall a bit flat. In certain work environments, being late really does matter. Here's Mike Walters again on the organisations where not turning up on time can have serious consequences.
Things like call centres and contact centres, I suppose, would be the best example of that. Whereas, you know, in an office job, you can turn up 5 minutes late and it probably doesn't make much difference to anyone except you. A call centre, if you turn up 5 minutes late, then that's somebody who's not answering the phone for 5 minutes and it gives a real problem to the organisation.
The Cooperative Financial Services call centre in Manchester had chronic problems with lateness. Mike was brought in to help, which apparently involved more than standing at the gates, looking at his watch and tutting.
My name's Jenny Woods. I'm the HR business partner for the shared services area within CFS. I think that with contact centres, timekeeping is such an important thing because when the customer rings up, they want somebody to be there to talk to them. And if we don't have all the advisors logged into the phones when they're supposed to be, it means that the calls start to queue and we can't service our customers in the way that we want to.
But what's it like being constantly monitored and talking to an endless stream of callers all day, every day? Brendan Greville has been working there for almost 2 years.
You can get days where it's just extremely busy and it will get on top of the majority of people. If you get a string of complaints, it can make you demotivated and just have a bad day. You need to just try and follow it with a good day if you can, but you can have bad weeks, bad months.
Come on, Brendan, you can get through this. But how exactly are call centre workers wasting time?
We have people who go on breaks and are then a couple of minutes late coming back. People who go on lunch and the lunch lasts a lot longer than it should do. Somebody who turns up for their shift and they're 5 minutes late, so they're 5 minutes late getting on to the phones. And so we monitor our advisors not only on whether they're late to start their shift, but also the time that they come back from lunch, the time that they come back from their breaks. And they are targeted on what we call an adherence to their schedule.
Mike was called in to help sort things out, because despite the monitoring and despite the rules, the staff were still skiving off.
There were a whole set of issues that they were facing. I mean, traditionally in that kind of environment, for example, it was not acceptable to be late. It was more socially acceptable to be absent. So if, for example, someone had a domestic problem or something like that, and that meant that they were going to be half an hour late or an hour late because I've got this particular problem, it was easier for them to phone up and say, I'm sick because I've got flu, I'm going to take the day off. So rather than losing an hour's input from that person, you lost the whole day's worth.
If one person didn't turn up on time to answer the phones, then the callers would start backing up, making it more stressful for the other employees. And you thought it was frustrating being kept on hold, but remember, it's often the fault of the person who isn't there rather than the one who eventually talks to you.
When I first started my team, there was only one girl who repeatedly did it, and she didn't stay for much longer after that.
But according to punctuality expert Diana DeLonza, the temporarily challenged deserve our sympathy, not our anger, because we just can't help it.
One of the interesting things that I found was that almost to a one, late people hated being late. They truly tried to be on time, and that it was a surprisingly difficult habit to overcome. Late people tended to be late whether they wanted to go somewhere or not, whether it was a wedding or a funeral. So it's not something a late person does intentionally. It's not about disrespecting your time. It's more about not being able to manage their own time.
That's right. It's out of our hands. So give us a break. Preferably about 5 minutes after we got in, with some complimentary tea and biscuits. At the call centre, smugly punctual Mike got to work trying to make everyone get in on time and not to call in sick.
There's some very practical things in terms of the kind of leave arrangements. So introducing things like, for example, an emergency leave arrangement whereby if I have a problem and I'm going to be an hour late, I can actually phone in at short notice and take that hour off. Having done all that, if the person then was still late, then the line was likely tougher than it would have been previously.
If you're going to be late, make sure you have a very good excuse. The dog ate my shoes probably won't cut it. So how did Brendan interpret the new culture?
If you felt like you were being told off, the negative effect would be, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in that schoolyard sort of situation of being told off and then having your sweets taken off of you. Where we've gone to now is we're not telling you off. What we're doing is making you aware that this is the impact that you're having by being late. And since that, they've had rewards of morale just going high and people wanting to stay with the business.
And there's always one surefire way to encourage people to come in on time.
We try and encourage them with a bit of carrot and stick methodology, really. So we try and get them to understand the impact that it would have on their other team members. We also use measures like that within their bonus scheme. So if they're not on time, it then impacts on the amount of money that they can earn, which seems to have quite a good effect on that.
Jenny Woods. The carrot and stick is especially effective with sadomasochistic vegetarians. The call centre realised that they need to incentivise their staff, and one not very surprising way they did it was to pay them more. Who knew? But what about the large swathes of the workforce in low-paid jobs across the country, where time management becomes a tool used by the bosses in an attempt to increase productivity? In these cases, the working practices can seem like something dreamt up by George Orwell. Brown Brothers is a meat processing company with 3 factories across Scotland and England. They've been criticised by the unions for their working practices. We managed to speak to an employee at one of these factories who asked us to protect their identity. Their words have been read by someone else. This is their working life.
It's an 8 o'clock start. The first break comes at 9:45 till 10 o'clock. Then from 10 it's till 12, and then a half-hour lunch break, back again, back till 2 o'clock, then another 15-minute break, then till 4:15, and on Fridays it's till 4:30. They're told to hurry, hurry, hurry all the time. They can't even stand and talk to each other for 2 minutes because they're bothered by the supervisors. The company's always push, push, push. They want the most out of you work-wise.
The biggest grievance, though, surrounds what you might think would be the straightforward issue of using the toilet. According to our employee, if they do so outside of allocated breaks, it costs the staff money.
You basically have to clock out, take off your overalls, your apron, your boots, your hairnet, and you might have to walk a minute to the bathroom, use the bathroom, then you have to repeat the whole thing and clock back in again. And that could be 5 or 10 minutes. You get docked. It's like a sensor on your swipe card. If you need to go 3 times a day, then it could be 30 minutes. And you're losing 2.5 hours a week. When you look at your wage packet at the end of the week, and you have all your times there for clocking in and out, and you say, oh, I must have been to the loo 3 times on Monday, 2 times on Tuesday. I have never worked in a company that doesn't allow you to use the toilet. This is the first time ever. It's actually quite degrading.
So spending a penny can actually cost you considerably more. But that's not all. It's also alleged that you can be penalised for moving between different departments.
If you go from one department to another, you lose money again. For example, if you go from low risk into high risk, you have to change from low risk. Then you have to go all the way up the passage, up to high risk, change again, then clock in again. You've lost 5 or 6 minutes, which you don't get paid for. I believe any company should try to run a tight ship, but there's certain ways you should treat your staff. But I think it's draconian the way they do.
Brown Brothers declined to put anybody forward for an interview, but they did give us a statement. They say these work practices were put in place after open negotiations with the workforce at the Kirkconnell factory, and that 70% of employees voted for these shift and break patterns. They maintain that changing clothes between departments is vital to health and safety, but didn't address the question of why they dock employee wages for time spent doing this. They also said,
"We have been in negotiations with union officials who represent the minority of our workforce over alternative work patterns, but so far without success. The company is always open to discussing new work patterns, with the proviso that the health and safety and the viability of the plant is not compromised. Any new arrangement would, of course, be put to a ballot of the entire workforce."
According to our research, many thousands of employees around Britain are having their time managed in a way that most of us would find difficult to deal with. But treating staff with respect and encouragement does once again seem to be the key to getting the best out of them.
Number 21, little houses. Number 22, counting the houses.
And remember, poor punctuality isn't something that can be helped. It's a disability. And anyone who criticises us is prejudiced. We should all get our own special parking spaces and chauffeurs to drive us in on time and butlers to wake us up and get us out of bed. We have rights.
Bad Habit was presented by Richard Herring and produced by Lucy Greenwell. Next week, Richard looks at perfectionism. The series is a unique production for BBC Radio 4.